If you seriously need to save on groceries, and more for less is what you crave, Food City understands the struggle is real. That's why their high-quality store brands are such a great deal. Nobody does quality and savings like Food City.
Hour 2 coming at you live from Loudoun, Tennessee, 414 Wharf Street. We are at Blue Water Climate Control in Loudoun. They have their home spot, or their OG spot right there on Sutherland, and they have this spot out here in Loudoun. Serving everybody out here, Loudoun County, Lenore City, Monroe County, Rarity Bay places, Telico Village places, everyone that just lives here in Loudoun.
Yeah.
Right here, you got your home team right here at Blue Water Climate Control.
And we appreciate Lieutenant Governor Randy McNally stopped by a little earlier to say hey to us. So appreciate him stopping in. You know, it's really cool to get out here to Loudoun, everywhere we get to go. And see the local businesses that local people support out here. And that's what Blue Water Climate Control is. They're a local family-owned business, and they have the office here in Loudoun to help serve this part of the area more efficiently. So 299-2290, or you can book online at bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. It's time for the 10 o'clock reset. That's thanks to our friends at Craven Wings. That's another locally-owned business. They're at North Shore at Choto, also in Seymour on Chapman Highway. Cleanest, healthiest chicken available anywhere. That is Craven Wings. Coming up over the next 2 hours, Tennessee and Virginia to open up the 2023 season instead of a trip to BYU. More on that coming up. How hard is it to get true home-and-home scheduled and actually get them to play out? We'll talk about that as well. Ryan Callahan joins us coming up at 10:30 from GoVols 24/7. Tennessee's recruiting efforts, that's part of moving a game to Nashville, but also Tennessee was with a highly rated prospect in town this past weekend, and they're continuing to set up for a huge recruiting weekend over Memorial Day weekend. We'll talk to Ryan about that. We'll play Florida, Alabama, or Georgia coming up at 11. Zakai Ziegler will join us coming up at 11:15 as he will be here at Blue Water Climate Control signing autographs from 11 to 12. We're going to take him away for just a couple minutes, chat about the year that he had at Tennessee, from the highs, the lows, the support of the fans, when his family went through the situation they went through with their home being lost to fire.
Terrible.
And he has such a great story, such an inspiring story of coming from where he did to be a star at Tennessee right away.
I have a couple questions that I'm planning on asking him. Okay. One of them, you're going to go, oh, gosh. And the other one, you're going to laugh.
It's also what I do.
I know a lot of stuff about him. There's a few things that I don't know, and I feel like I want to ask him.
All right.
Because he seems like a really good young man, and I feel like he's going to answer him. And I have a challenge for him as well.
We will also have a Tennessee against Belmont baseball preview as those teams face off tonight at Lindsey Nelson Stadium on what will be senior night. It's senior night for the Vols, and also there are some draft-eligible guys who will probably be playing their last regular season game in Lindsey Nelson Stadium tonight. So good opportunity to get out there. The standing room tickets and tickets on the secondary market as well. If you can't go, be sure to resell your tickets so people can get in tonight and pack the park for senior night. All that and more coming up over the next 2 hours here on the Eric Cain Show. All right, Tennessee and Virginia to open up the 2023 season instead of Tennessee and BYU. Your thoughts, 656-9900, 866-656-9900. Jacob is up first. Jacob, you're on the EA show. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning to you.
Morning.
I personally like the switch. I think that Virginia is a better opponent than BYU. Virginia plays in a better conference than BYU. And I mean, when is the last time Tennessee has recruited Provo, Utah metro area? But they stand to get a lot of recruits from Nashville or, you know, maybe even the Virginia area. I think more people will be watching this game. More Tennessee fans will go to it, and it keeps the money in state. I like it. I like it all the way around.
Have we ever even had a recruit from Utah?
Probably, at some point.
I mean, you say probably, but nothing you remember.
But yeah, you're talking about trading a game that was going to get very little national pop in Utah to one that will probably get a fair amount of national play, an ACC-SEC game in a major city. Yeah.
Played in an NFL stadium. I like that. And also,
I know you like games, that. You want the new state. You want them to play in the new stadium already.
Exactly. Exactly. Jesus. Exactly. It's going to be the 8th, 9th wonder of the world when it gets built. Just watch. But anyway, right. I would like Tennessee to play future games, non-conference games, with Lincoln Riley and USC and Miami. Tennessee has went down to Miami before and won. Tennessee is also under former there in his latter years. Had a little pipeline going to California there with a number of high-profile recruits, Devin Burnett.
Say Kevin West Simon, period, because then you include me. If you say California, then I'm just a sloppy kid from Oregon. Come on.
Well, there's you from Oregon, and not to mention the weeklies and the softball team go out to California and get recruits all the time. So
sure
let's
do.
Reestablish that. And right yeah. now, Miami and USC – I think Tennessee's better than those two teams right now. I think they could beat them, you know. So let's get them on the schedule. That's all I got. Appreciate it.
Jake, appreciate it. Hey, I love going to California almost every year with softball to, you know, for it's a recruiting tool that, you know, you get to play in front of your home fans usually every year, if not every 2 years. But, yeah. See, I think it's difficult to set those up. And the reason is very simple. Tennessee makes upwards of $6 to $7 million a home game now, between you factor in donations and tickets and concessions, and concessions souvenirs are a smaller part of it, but the pop for Tennessee is $6 or $7 million for a home game. For a lot of programs, including successful programs, the USC's of the world, the Virginia's of the world.
No, they're not making half that.
Right. So if you have a neutral site game that says we will guarantee you $2 million without you having to spend anything, a lot of schools are more likely to take the neutral site money than they are to schedule a home-and-home. It's also easier to get a single neutral site game into your schedule because you may only have an opening in 1 year. If you look at this, Tennessee had an opening in 2019 for the first BYU game, but not until 2023 for the second BYU game. Well, now it's come along. There have been two complete athletic department staffs that have come and gone since the BYU contract was signed. You've had an entire athletic department staff and coaching staff that have come and gone since the first time you played the first half of this series. And that's kind of the unfortunate side piece of that is,
you said side piece.
I did. The side piece of that is everything has changed in the time. If you don't play in back-to-back years, a lot of things change. A lot of things have changed at BYU since then. When they scheduled the game, Bronco Mendenhall was the coach. He's now gone to Virginia and left Virginia before you're going to play the other half of it. From when it was scheduled, not from when the first game happened.
Fair.
He was already at Virginia by the time the first game of the game. But when the game was scheduled, he was their head coach. Now he's gone to the other school you're going to play and left before you played. I wish.
Where did he go?
Virginia.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he retired after this past year. Tony Elliott's taken over. This is his first season.
He retired. He didn't go somewhere else. That's what I was trying to remember.
Yeah,
that's what I was trying to remember.
He went to Virginia and then retired.
And then he's done.
Yes.
Heart problems.
Yeah. So
he'll be back in 6 months.
I don't think he's Urban Meyer. Bronco Mendenhall, much more moral than Urban Meyer.
I would agree with that.
He's not gonna...
We're still talking college football coaches.
That's fair. Let's talk to Eric, 656-9900. Eric, you're on the EA show. Good morning.
Hey.
Not you.
Oh, sorry.
Caller Eric. Caller Eric, good morning.
What's up, Brian? What's up, Eric?
How are you?
How are y'all this morning?
Doing great.
I was calling in about the Celtics in the Heat game one tonight.
Are you going to call me every day
for
the series and stress me out? You're going to do it, aren't you? You're going to. It's okay. I'm not mad at you for it. I would probably do it if I was confident like you are.
Well, I mean, the Heat, man, I've been a lifelong fan. I mean, I like the Celtics too. So if the Heat were to go down, I wouldn't pick anybody but the Celtics for them to go down to. So.
See, I'm not fun to talk trash to, though. I'm already laying on the ground in the fetal position. You'd be talking trash to me, and I'll be like, I know we suck. We're not going to win.
Well, I think the Heat are going to handle the Celtics tonight, and I think the game two will actually be a very good game. But I think the Celtics, they rode a little too high on that game seven. I think they'll have a little bit of a letdown tonight. But we'll see. I think that Jimmy Butler, he'll probably go for about 35 tonight.
If he scores 35 tonight, Eric Ainge's head will explode before the game tomorrow.
Well, we won't win. Tomorrow. You said Buckets scores 35?
Yeah.
We won't win if he scores 35. Oh, yeah. He does too many other things well. Now, that's not true. He had two games in the last series. No. He's had three games in the entire playoffs where he goes for 30, 35 plus and the team loses.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, he's – and all right. His shots are crazy degree of difficulty, and he just keeps making them, and it's nuts. It's not impossible
for us to win. That one game he scored 35, I think it was, against the Sixers in game three. They wasn't supposed to play Joel Embiid, so playing for him.
Yeah.
But anyway, I believe he's gonna show up and show out tonight, and then game two will be more of a measure of what the series is going to be, I believe.
It should be a fun one starting tonight. I'm looking forward to it. Eric's not looking forward to it. I am looking forward to it. Good luck to your Heat. Eric, good luck to your Celtics.
Yeah, whatever.
Everybody's going to be invested.
I just want both teams to play hard. That's where I'm at.
Are you going to wear your both teams play hard shirt
I
tomorrow?
Might wear my both teams played hard shirt tomorrow. Just, you know, all about effort. You know, just really good effort all the way around.
865-656-9900, 866-656-9900. If you want to join us, we're coming to you live from Blue Water Climate Control. Zakai Ziegler is going to join us coming up at 11:15. He'll be here signing autographs beginning at 11. Come in and check us out. Take an early lunch to come down here right in downtown Loudoun here for Blue Water Climate Control. You can give them a call, 299-2290. You can give us a call, 865-656-9900, the Eric Ainge Show. Continues next.
Here at 11 o'clock to sign some autographs, 11:15 to talk on the radio a little bit, right here at Blue Water Climate Control, 414 Wharf Street. Literally for everything HVAC, I always call them the goats, but they are. Anything you need for your house or you're not sure you need, how about some service, repair, whatever it is. Make sure you're good for this hot season coming. It's about to be 90.
It is. It's going to be 90 all weekend.
Woo! So if I will live at the pool.
If that causes you some pause as far as is your home going to be cool, then 299-2290, bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. You may need a recharge. You may need something simple. You may need a new unit replacement. They can do it all right here. The company I trust, Blue Water Climate Control. 656-9900, 866-656-9900, if you want to join us here on the show. So, going to the neutral site game for Virginia, instead of going to BYU, somebody yesterday said, well, this is going to look like Tennessee's ducking another opponent. And I don't see that because I see Virginia and BYU as comparable. I think Virginia being an ACC team right now is actually a more prestigious team than BYU. Are they a better program today? I don't know that I would go that far, but I think if they played tomorrow, it'd be a close game. So in that guise, I don't think anybody can accuse Tennessee of ducking BYU because they're playing in an equivalent program.
I mean, I get the optics of it. It's like, oh, they just don't want to play BYU because BYU beat them. That's where I take that. That's where I get it a little bit. But that's
4 years ago. Nobody that's on that team is on the. Nobody that was on that team is on the team now.
No, and that's why the only people
they certainly will be there next year.
Well, no, the only people that care about that are the fans.
Yeah,
fans care about that because they beat us here. Like we had, I think it was Jason call earlier, and was saying. I wanted to give it to them in their own stadium.
Yeah.
But that's what the fans say. There's a lot of guys on our team that if you said, when's the last time Tennessee and BYU played?
They have no idea.
There'd be a good portion of them that would have no clue. I know fans don't really understand that, but take it from a guy who played for 4 years and learned stuff along the way that you'd have been like, he didn't know that. He's out there beating Georgia at home or Florida at home, and he has no idea about blank.
I'll take it a step farther. I would be willing to bet that less than 10% of the kids who will play for Tennessee in this game next year against Virginia that would have played at BYU, less than 10% even watched the game when Tennessee played BYU here.
There's a few guys still on the team, and that would be them. And recruits probably wouldn't have paid attention unless they were at the game.
There would be – the only guys that would still be on the team would be fifth-year redshirt guys.
Yeah.
And there aren't –
there's not many of them. Yeah, no.
On the roster.
I get, we're all saying the same thing. This game is about the fan. The ducking of BYU or the frustration that we're not playing them is only for the fans. None of the coaches were here. 90% of the players don't even remember when we lost to them or what game happened before them. Before that, they don't even know that stuff. I'm just saying.
Recruits don't follow things as closely as fans do.
No, and the recruits that would have followed it would be seniors right now.
Yeah.
So, you're not ducking them. That's just not how it works. There's Danny White's not back there going, gosh, I just don't think we can beat BYU and Provo.
Yeah.
That's not why that happens. You find yourself an opportunity that you think something better is out there. You pursue it, and then it comes to fruition, and you sit back and say, we think this is the best thing for the program. That's all Danny White's job is, to do what's best for the program.
Yep.
And so he clearly thinks this is it. And so far, the only thing that I really have to knock Danny White on are his claiming of championships at UCF. I don't really have anything based on what he's done here to be like, I cannot believe he did that.
I think everything he's done here has been – whether it works out that way or not, I think everything he has done here has been done with the thought, opinion, and action that it is in the best interest of Tennessee moving forward. You know, the ticket stuff, the donation stuff, I realize there are people that are still mad about that, will be mad about that. That's okay. You can't argue, though, that he did not do that with the best financial interests of Tennessee and its long-term health at heart. And one thing that I can give him that I can't necessarily give Dave Hart before him, John Curry before him, is a knowledge that every decision made was made consciously thinking about the short-term and the long-term health of Tennessee. I think Phil Fulmer made a lot of decisions that way because the school means something to him. Did he always make the right decision? No. Did he always make the wrong decision? Not that either. But I think he made every decision with the best interest of Tennessee at heart. I think Danny White has done that here. I don't think, other than the people that are upset that they don't get to go to see a unique environment in Utah, I don't think there is a downside to this move. And I would, if somebody can point out a real downside, I'd love for you to do it. 656-9900, 866-656-9900. Because I can't find a downside to this, other than the 2,000 or 3,000 people that were going to go don't get to see Tennessee and BYU in Utah.
Yeah, but I was frustrated, but I was already over it by the time we got on the radio.
Because you look at it and you see that there's no other downside to it. I think anytime you trade the ability for 3,000 of your fans to see a game versus 40,000+ fans, I think that's a net positive for you as well.
Maybe more than that.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, you could sell it out with 60,000 or 70,000. I don't think that's going to happen. I think you're going to get a crowd of about 45,000, and you're still going to make more money than you would have if you had gone to Utah, and all you had to do was load up 6 buses and go to Nashville. We'll come back. Somebody who's always looking for those positives as well is Ryan Callahan of GoVols 24/7. What's the recruiting impact of this game? What is the recruiting weekend looking like for Tennessee on Memorial Day? It's lining up to be a big one. We'll ask Ryan about that next as we return here to Blue Water Climate Control. We're at the Loudoun locations. Kai Ziegler coming at 11. It's the Eric Cain Show. We return next.
Tennessee football has a new opening game for the 2023 season. They have replaced the BYU game for a game against Virginia at Nissan Stadium in Nashville that will open the 2023 season on September the 2nd. This will be the school's first meeting since the 1991 Sugar Bowl. Tennessee basketball has officially signed 5-star freshman Julian Phillips after he committed to Tennessee last week. And this morning, Tennessee basketball landed a commitment from a 2022 forward, Toby Awaka. Tennessee baseball freshman Blake Burke has been named the SEC co-freshman of the week. Major League Baseball last night, the Brewers took down the Braves 1-0. The Cubs hammered the Pirates 9-0. The Yankees got by the Orioles 6-2, and the Red Sox took down the Astros 6-3. Have a good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
Live from Blue Water Climate Control, 414 Wharf Street. It's where we're at today. Zakai Ziegler is going to join us coming up at 11 o'clock. Got a challenge for him. We'll see if he can defeat the challenge, right? We're going to have him on the air at 11:15. He's going to sign autographs. We have a ball to give away, an autograph ball. You can come by and put your name in the running right there. Just drop it in the box, and we'll go from there. It's going
to
be fun.
And you also have the opportunity right now on social media, if you can't join us here live, to sign up for the air purifier system. It's a fully installed Remy Halo. This is the latest state of the art. You can find out more at bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. But you can retweet that. I appreciate Dave, Carter, John, Mark. A whole bunch of people have already weighed in on that just from what I can see on my profile. So 299-2290 is how you connect with Blue Water Climate Control as well. We now go to the Stanley Fitz and Gates Hotline. Welcome in our guy, Ryan Callahan of GoVols 24/7. Ryan, happy Tuesday, and Tennessee was happy. They had a major prospect on campus over the weekend, checking out a little Vol baseball with Josh Heupel and Chancellor Plowman.
Yeah, big weekend again. May not the biggest month for visitors for the most part, as we've talked about before, but Carnell Tate back in town, the four-star wide receiver from IMG Academy down in Florida. This is his fourth trip to Tennessee since late November, so becoming a pretty regular thing that he's making the trip to Tennessee. We obviously have known for a while that Tennessee is very much in the thick of that one, and that obviously another good sign that after his official visit last month, he was back in town over the weekend. So he's been quiet since that visit, so we'll see if he has anything to say publicly about it since or coming out of that in the coming days. But certainly I think it bodes well for Tennessee that he was able to make it back after what he thought might have been his final stop at Tennessee last month before his decision turned out obviously not to be the final trip there. And now we'll see if he takes any more visits before making a decision.
As you look at some of the guys that Tennessee has now had on campus and will have on campus, I know next weekend is building into being this potentially the biggest collection of talent on a Tennessee campus at one time in a decade or more. What is the focus? What are they trying to do in getting all these guys together on campus at the same time?
Well, yeah, you want some peer recruiting to naturally happen. Certainly, next weekend, especially Tennessee will have Nico Iamaliava back in town. So you want guys to be around him and for him to get a chance to sort of do his thing and try to convince some other guys to join him. So peer recruiting is certainly part of it. And it always helps to be able to sell the vision. And when you can see a lot of quality players on campus at the same time during a visit like that, it kind of lets we say it all the time, good players want to play with other good players. And so for Tennessee, it looks like, having a good collection of talent that's expected to be in town next weekend for that Memorial Day weekend recruiting event they're having on the 28th. Assuming everybody that's expected shows up, or at least a good number of those people show up, it's going to be a pretty impressive turnout, and that's it makes it easier for guys to envision themselves there. I think if Tennessee has that many quality players on campus, it lets people know that they're in the process of certainly changing things and getting the program back where they want it. I think that's a big part of it. You want to be able to sell that vision and make it easier for guys to see themselves playing in a place like that, especially when you're competing with other big-time programs for that kind of talent.
Big recruiting weekends are like summer camp. We've all been to a summer camp, right, at some point in our lives, church camp, summer camp. You go there and you're there. You end up making the 10 best friends you'll ever make in your entire life. And you just vibe, and it's fun. And then you leave, and you stay in touch with two of them. And those two become actual real friends of yours. That's how recruiting weekends are. You get all these guys around each other. The whole weekend, they're going to be like, we're playing together. We're doing it. We're playing together. This is happening. Mm-hmm. We're coming here. And then they'll leave, And eight of them will go back to kind of where they were in their process. They'll remember the time here, but there'll be two or three relationships formed that end up turning into actual commitments with guys that are actual friends. And if you just came here with a bunch of high-profile guys that already are committed, knowing they're going to befriend 20 guys, you only need two of them to actually really let it stick. And then the weekend was beyond a success, right?
Yeah, no question. And hey, I mean, you can sort of go back and retrace some of the common steps, you know, where some of these guys that Tennessee's recruiting have already been on campus together. Nico, obviously, recruiting Carnell Tate, for instance. They visited for the first time together back in late November for the Vanderbilt game. And then when Carnell Tate came back last month for his official visit, obviously Nico was in town that weekend and has spent quite a bit of time recruiting him, especially since then. Having those relationships, those experiences in person together, it does make a difference. And you're right. I think a weekend like next weekend has a chance to have that kind of impact on Tennessee's class. So, I think you will see that those kinds of relationships being built. You know, this is a big weekend for Tennessee if it pans out to have some guys on campus who have relationships with Nico and are maybe looking at Tennessee at least in part because of him. You know, we've talked about the impact he can have on this class. It sounds like Francis Maligoa, a five-star offensive lineman from IMG Academy in Florida, will be in town next weekend. Nico expecting him there as of right now. So we'll see if he makes it in. But if he does, you know, that's certainly one of those guys. He's had a direct impact on his interest in Tennessee. So, you know, that's a good example of those in-person experiences. You know, some of those guys already know each other, and some will meet guys that certainly will have an impact on their decisions. So it's definitely a big opportunity, and that's part of what you're selling is the chance to be around other guys that they might want to play with.
Speaking of having a chance to be around guys they want to play with, Nico's headed to the Elite 11 finals. That gives him the opportunity to be around a lot of other top-level prospects that he's going to try to recruit to join with him at Tennessee. What does his impact look like heading to the Elite 11 finals, and what does that mean for his development as well?
Yeah, it's obviously good. I mean, this is a pretty impressive stat, I think, considering that Tennessee's not had just a ton of success at the quarterback position in recent years. But this will be the sixth time in 8 years Tennessee has been represented at the Elite 11 finals. So they've had a pretty steady stream of Elite 11 quarterbacks, or at least participants in the Elite 11 finals in recent years. And so, it's a good kind of a good status symbol, I think, to have somebody there if you're Tennessee. And for him, it's a good thing to be coached by the guys who run that event. They do a good job. You know, somebody asked just coming out of Sunday's Elite 11 regional in Nashville where Nico participated in that event, you know, just what does the Elite 11 finals actually tell you about a player? You know, what does it actually mean? There have been plenty of guys, obviously, in the past who went to that event, did pretty well, and then turned out not to be particularly great in college or didn't amount to much. And my response was, it's basically, you know, the quarterback position, there's no guarantee of anything. You know, the half of the highly ranked quarterbacks or somewhere around that don't end up living up to the hype. It's just one of those positions where not everybody makes it, same as first round picks at quarterback in the NFL. So, but it's still a good thing to be there, and it can help with your development. I think for Nico, you know, Sunday's camp in Nashville was a reminder that he's still pretty young at the quarterback position. He's still raw in a lot of areas. So it's going to be a good chance for him. And I think Sunday was a good experience for him to be able to understand where he still can improve, to work on some of the fundamentals where he didn't look that sharp Sunday. And he'll be able to come back next month in Los Angeles at the Elite 11 finals and show what kind of progress he's made just from participating in that one camp. And then the Elite 11 finals is a 3-day event. It'll help him even more. So I think it is a good thing, and certainly will help him in that way. And he's working with some good guys. Obviously Trent Dilfer runs the Elite 11, and some other good coaches take part in that. And that will help him. Every bit of help he can get, I think you can see some guys who improve in that event every year. And he certainly could be one of them.
I'm surprised Dilfer hadn't convinced him to come play football for him yet.
Hey, that's maybe something to at least keep an eye on for his younger brother. If his family does end up moving to Tennessee at some point in the future, his younger brother is a class of 2025 prospect of the Tennessee offer. You know, I certainly wouldn't rule out that a program like that could be appealing to his family if they do decide to go that route and move to Tennessee. But yeah, I think he's going to stay in California for his senior year.
All right, Cal Adam Govall's 24/7.
Hold on, Nico and his brother are going to be the new Clawson family.
One's going to be
way better than the other, but we're going to get them both.
That's an interesting possibility for sure. I mean, they're 2 years apart in school, so it would be a lot easier for them to end up at the same school. You know, we've seen it not work out before with Tua and Talia, you know, obviously not working out necessarily for Alabama. But yeah, it can work out. I could certainly see that scenario where Tennessee ends up getting both. And Tennessee was the first offer for Madden, the younger brother. So he's a fascinating prospect. He's a talented guy himself, and I think already on his way to being a pretty high level prospect.
Well, his name's Madden.
Mm-hmm.
That's an awesome name. Madden.
He just wants another. Eric just wants another one, first name only deal there, so he doesn't have.
They both qualify.
Yeah. Try to lose the.
They both qualify.
All right, I know you guys are working on a ton at Govall's 24/7 as you head into this weekend, but also into that huge recruiting weekend over Memorial Day, which will probably keep the Callahan clan from hanging out at the pool all weekend. What are you guys working on ahead of that at Govall's 24/7?
Yeah, well, continued baseball coverage, obviously, as the regular season starts to wind down, and plenty of coverage of you know, off-season football and basketball news. Had basketball recruiting news this morning, as a matter of fact. So lots of coverage of that as we continue to look ahead to Tennessee's roster next season and in those sports, and also catch up with some of Tennessee's signees in the coming days before they arrive on campus. We'll have some stories on those guys coming up soon. And as you said, lots of recruiting coverage as we look ahead to what should be a pretty big weekend for Tennessee next weekend. For that Memorial Day weekend event they're having. So that, coaches still making stops on the road, continued coverage of that as well, and much, much more at govols247.com.
Ryan, we always appreciate your time on Tuesdays. Looking forward to all of that and more, and we'll talk to you again next Tuesday.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys.
That's Ryan Callahan, Govols 24/7, our recruiting expert here on the Eric Cain Show from the first week we were on the air. Oh, we just had a... Oh, look, he's got all the Alabama stickers, too.
He looks like he's from Alabama, though. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. He came
if
by.
If he's wearing a Bama shirt he got at Walmart and he's got Tennessee tags, then I'd have beef.
Yeah,
he's got Bama tags.
Yeah.
We can't all be perfect.
But he said RT in person.
We can't all be perfect. You know who's not winning the basketball? That guy.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd wait till he left and then pull his name back out of the box.
Yeah, he didn't sign up, but if he did. You can come by here, Blue Water Climate Control. We're here at the Loudon location. Get the kids out of school for lunch. Have them come here.
They're not doing anything anyway. I'm getting selfies from my 9-year-old from school right now.
Have them meet Zakai Ziegler right here at Blue Water Climate Control. He will be here from 11 until 12. He's going to join us on the show at 11:15 as well, right here. At Blue Water Climate Control here on Wharf Street, downtown Loudon. It's the Eric Cain Show. We return next.
Welcome back to the Eric Cain Show right here at 414 Wharf Street, downtown Loudon, Blue Water Climate Control. Vol for Life, Zakai Ziegler, is going to show up today and here in just a little while.
Yeah.
And he'll be signing some autographs and talking on the radio and good times out here. And if you want to interact with them on social media, you can find out how to do that on their Twitter and Facebook accounts.
Yeah, and have the chance to win a free fully installed Remy Halo system. It's an air purifier, six technologies in one unit. And it kills 99% of sneeze germs within 3 feet as well. I mean, just a great system. Reduces odors, particulates, smoke, so much more. Kills bacteria, mold, and viruses. You can find out more about that system and have one installed in your home, even if you don't win right now at BlueWaterClimateControl.com. 656-9900 if you want to join us. Jerry is up first. Jerry, you're on the EA Show. Good morning.
Hey, Brian. How you doing? I love your show. You guys put out a wonderful product.
Thank you.
Question for you is, listening to the recruits' status, who pays for that transportation for them coming up here?
For official visits, the school pays for it, but you only get one of those per school when you are a recruit, and you get five total to five different schools. For unofficial visits, the prospects and their family have to pay for the visit themselves. The school can't be involved in it. There have been some it's a major NCAA violation if you pay for it. So all the kids that come on unofficial visits are paying for their visit themselves.
Oh, great. Well, I was just curious about that. I didn't know how all that worked. But once they commit to UT, does UT pick it up if they come back in again and again or whatever?
No. The school can only pay for the one official visit that they come on. Anything past that is at their own expense. The first time that that UT can pay for anything is when they enroll in school.
Okay. All right. Great, guys. Listen, y'all just make my day. Thank you so much, and take good care.
Man. Appreciate you listening.
We appreciate it. 656-9900-866-656-9900 if you want to join us here on the Eric Haines Show. So there is a recruiting aspect to Tennessee moving this game to Nashville, and that's that they can have recruits from the local area visit. They can have recruits from the local area watch that game. And they can make it a big impact event in the Nashville area. From 100%. That standpoint, I think it's a huge pickup for Tennessee.
Yeah, I agree. I'm over it. I know a lot of people won't be for a little while, but I'm over it. When I first saw it, I didn't like it.
Okay.
And then I thought about it. I got over my own feelings about not having
feels.
A family reunion over there in Utah.
Yep.
And kind of got on board. I'm good with it. I'm just old school, man. Having been a player, like, who cares what team is on the list?
Yep.
You get ready and you go play them. You know, the old, well, play them in the parking lot. Well, that mentality is what it should be. That's accurate. It's still football. I know there's targeting, and I know you can't hit the quarterbacks, and I know you can't do anything too hard anymore, but it's still football. You put your mouthpiece in, and you go knock the dirt out of the guy in front of you.
Yep.
And now we're going to do that to Virginia instead of BYU.
And it will be the season opener. I believe the BYU game was going to be game two and not the season
opener. I don't know. That's what it was last time.
Yeah, I believe it was going to be game two of the season there, and now Tennessee will open up the year there and will reshuffle one of the other non-conference games.
Yeah.
That was my understanding that BYU was going to be on the road week two and not week one. But regardless, somebody yesterday asked me, you know, winning a game at BYU would have given Tennessee a lot of national pop.
I don't think I agree with that.
I don't think it would have been any different. I mean,
playing BYU in week nine, if they were undefeated, would. Because they'd be ranked in the top 10 or 15.
Right.
But preseason, they're not going to be ranked. They're not going to be ranked. So when you play them, it moves the meter none. Especially if you go out there and you whip them.
Yeah.
Then instead of everyone giving Tennessee credit, they just go, "Oh well, BYU must be they're terrible."
Yeah. And you don't talk about BYU again until they're 8-1 in week nine.
Exactly.
And since that will be their first year in the Big 12, they will not
they'll
be
8-1
in week nine.
No, they'll be losing.
6-6. So
they'll be losing.
I think there is value in taking your brand all over the country and playing games everywhere. I do think there's value in that. I think you need to be more deliberate about it than Tennessee was when Dave Hart and Butch Jones were doing the scheduling. Because I don't think your football program gained anything from a home and home with BYU and now a home game with BYU that you lost and now buying out of the back end. I don't think anything was gained from that scheduling. I don't think anything was ever going to be gained from that scheduling, and that's kind of the challenge that you were facing there, was that there just was no upside to it. So it's kind of where you ended up, and so it's going to be interesting to see how that Virginia game plays out. It's also going to be interesting to see how things change between now and then. What does Tennessee's roster look like then? What does Virginia's roster look like then? How does Tony Elliott remake it? Is he going to try to launch his team into a big second season in Charlottesville with a win over Tennessee in week one. That's going to be another part of it.
Good luck.
I mean, maybe he takes all of Clemson in the transfer portal after this year. We don't know.
It only takes seven.
But you know the one thing I really like about this more than anything else? I hate how far out we schedule non-conference games.
And so we proved in COVID we don't need to.
To have it change for next year, sign me up for that just from the chaos standpoint. Final hour of the Eric Gaines Show is coming up next. Kai Ziegler is scheduled to join us. And much more. We'll start with Florida, Alabama, or Georgia next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.